Perhaps no other workplace is more notorious for harassment and bullying than construction. Jason Henderson is the CEO of the Southern Interior Construction Association.
Bullying and harassment on construction job sites has always been kind of a bit of the culture. It's sometimes just in the way foremen and supervisors speak down to the apprentices and laborers. And it's been across the board with men, with women. It's not specific to one group or another, and it's kind of just a bit of the culture of construction. It has been in the past. I have a quote from one of my previous employers who said, he'll never know how many employees he's lost to bullying and harassment on the job site. And it extended from both the field site as well as in the office. So it isn't specifically to the construction job site. And, you know, working in construction myself, I've seen it. I've been party to it myself. And it's not a great thing. And it makes for a bad environment to work in.
That's Jason Henderson, the CEO of the Southern Interior Construction Association. Well, now, additions to the Builders Code hopes to address bullying. Training programs are being launched across the province. Diane Joliker is one of the trainers. She's the employer advisor with the Builders Code for the Southern Interior and is in our studio this morning. Ms. Joliker, good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
We'll get to the training, of course, in a moment, but what is the Builders Code?
The Builders Code is a standard code of conduct for the construction industry in BC. So it defines what an acceptable worksite is, and it provides the resources to support employers to create that acceptable worksite.
Okay, we heard a little bit there from Jason Henderson about that. He mentioned the culture. Do we know what the roots of bullying and harassment are in construction? Do we know why there's this problem?
I believe that the problem exists primarily because there really is, and hasn't been in the past, a standard code of conduct or any sort of implementation of a standard code of conduct in the industry. And I think that's contributed to people, you know, working with kind of not the greatest behavioral...
Right, and maybe no consequences when that behavior...
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. Part of your job is to work with contractors who are having issues on work sites. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things do you typically see?
Well, I mean, it really comes down to what the Builders Code is addressing, which is bullying, harassment, hazing, which is, you know, those initiation processes when new employees come onto the site, and discrimination. So these are the main topics that the Builders Code is addressing.
And what effect does that have on attracting and retaining workers?
Well, when you do have a acceptable work site and a standard code of conduct, it creates a welcoming environment for those who know that a company builds a reputation based on many things, quality of their work, but also code of behavior and how they treat each other. And when a company is known for that, has a good reputation, it definitely draws new employees to the company as well as retain those who are already working in the business.
And so take us into these workshops. What do you teach during these workshops that will help companies address this?
Well, in the different levels of training, number one, there is a specific training geared towards leaders, owners of the companies, and that's all about defining what a culture, a values-based culture is, and what standard code of behavior is. And it starts from the top down. So this is where those standards are implemented, communicated to the rest of the employees, etc. In this new training geared towards site supervisors, for people, managers, this is all about how to implement that standard code of conduct on the work site, on the ground, where they are. So
what are the challenges to implementing that code of conduct?
Well, the challenges are history. The challenges are, you know, introducing something new for those companies who really haven't been working with a standard code of conduct or don't have a values-based culture. It will be something new, introducing something new. And change is always difficult when there's a pattern of behavior.
Well, so right. And we see, just to pick up on that idea, I mean, we see it in all kinds of hierarchical, male-dominated institutions, whether it's law enforcement or the military. I mean, you could I mean, you can't go too far without encountering stories that are very similar in similar kinds of organizations. So,
absolutely.
What do you tell managers who face that resistance, maybe on the worksite?
And right.
What are the strategies you give them to help convince people this is worth doing?
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the key things is, you know, appealing to people's better nature, but also it's about really communicating the business benefits. And what that is, you know, the Builder's Code takes safety beyond PPE, personal protective equipment, and brings it into that behavioral safety. And so when workers are able to work without distraction and without that sense of stress, it's going to be more productive. It's going to have much more collaboration. When people are treated with respect, it comes back with better results. And so it also protects business from the costs of, you know, rehiring, potential legal costs, all those things involved in people leaving the company and all that turnover. So, you know, you build retention, and that retention builds, you know, better teamwork.
And where this kind of thing has been implemented successfully, can you give us some examples of the results?
Well, there are companies out there who have definitely signed the pledge to the Builder's Code, who are making those choices. Different companies are in different places. Some already have values-based culture. Other ones are implementing this into their business. It takes change. But it's really about kind of businesses becoming more aware of the areas in which they need to change and how they're going to change that. So, and that's different for every business.
Well, right. And I wonder about the scale of businesses, because a business gets to a certain size, it then needs an HR department, and it covers its rear end legally and all the rest of it. Is it easier for big businesses to do this? Are there specific challenges around smaller construction companies? Who is this aimed at?
It really serves as a strong support to smaller businesses. Businesses who really don't have the resources or the knowledge even to understand how HR and these kind of supports play a significant role in their business. Larger companies tend to have policies in place, but the Builder's Code also serves to support that and enhance wherever needed. So,
now, if someone's listening and would like their company to sign up for this training, how can they do that?
Well, we have our builderscode.ca website. They can definitely sign the pledge right on the website. I'm happy for construction companies to contact me. My contact information is on that website, and we can have a conversation about more about what the Builder's Code is. So,
good luck. Thanks very much for coming.
Thank you so much, Chris. Nice having you.
Diane Doliker is the employer advisor with the Builder's Code for the Southern Interior. Again, you can go for more information to builderscode.ca, and workshops will be in Castlegar and Kelowna in September.